Psalm 119, I want to leave with you this morning the verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Married to the mud, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. The first word of each verse begins with the Hebrew letter Dalet. Dalet means door. We have to be concerned about the door. And of course, to the Christian, there's only one door that matters. The door of salvation. Christ said, I am the door. The door leads to a change. The door brings you into a different place, into another room. And the most prominent door in this section is the door of repentance. That's the key theme in this section. And in this section, you will see that David is repentant. And repentance always leads to a change of room. It is always a better room. And it is certainly always a room with the Lord. The repentant one enters into a room with the Lord. Now, of these eight verses, three of them are commencing with verbs that begin with Dalet. Verse 25, 28, and verse 31. My soul cleaveth, my soul unto the dust. Then the word melteth or drippeth, melteth my soul for heaviness. And then the word stuck in verse 31, which is the same as the word cleave in verse 25. It's the same verb. I'm stuck to thy testimonies. You will notice that the first two verbs express a sadness in the psalmist. A kind of a depression, a battle in his heart, in the saint, an inward strife and struggle. My soul has heaviness, and my soul is joined to the dust. And that expresses a humble, contrite, a broken spirit. The last expresses a good and strong resolve. I am stuck to the word. A resolve to be attached to this word. Even with that inward struggle that is oftentimes going on in the saint. So in this section we see a battling saint, an oppressed saint struggling, whose soul cleaves to the dust, whose soul melts for heaviness, and yet whose soul sticks fast to God's word. His soul cleaves to the dust. To the dust. Now I'll say something about the dust in a moment. But first of all, we have to feel the intensity of this word cleave. What the psalmist is saying by this verb. It's a very strong, intense word. It's not hard to see how this verb might relate to the door image. Because what is the door? The door stuck to the post. The door's inseparable from the post. The door's cleaving to the post. The door's joined to the post. The door's hinged. It's glued. It's not going to separate. Stuck together. Hinged together. And David says he is hinged to the dust. My soul is hinged to the dust, my being, my whole being. It's not just that he has a bit of dust on his head, or a bit of dirt falling upon him from time to time, or that he has just fallen into the dust. No, he's saying something more intense than that. He's saying, I'm glued to it. I'm married to the dust. The first use of this verb in the Bible will help you to see the closeness between his soul and the dust. Because you remember how in chapter 2 of Genesis, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That's the very same word. As a man cleaves to his wife, as a man is joined to his wife, inseparable from his wife, having been separated from everything else, even a father and a mother, to be joined to his wife. And David uses that verb. He says, I'm joined to the dust. The soul and the dust are practically married in David's life. However, unlike marriage, this is not a good union. Marriage is commended in the Bible. Taking a spouse and loving a spouse is a worthy thing. And as the Bible says, marriage is honourable. But this union is not. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. It comes about because of sin, you see. David knows and feels that it is something he wants to be liberated from. He states this in order to pray against it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. He wants to be free of this union. Now I think it's very striking how David states this so suddenly at the Daleth entrance. He's just come to the door into this section and he says this straight away. This is what the sinner coming to Christ, the door is struck with. Whenever he has first been awakened and he comes to Christ, the door, he realizes this union has not been good before that coming to the door. That he has had a soul that cleaved to the dust. Dust, if you think of it literally in our understanding of the word, it's light, it's vanity. It is associated with the vanity of this world. And of course it's dirt and mud, the ground. And to cleave to the dirt and to the mud and to the ground is to cleave to uncleanness. To cleave to vanity. And it's folly. And the unconverted are attached to the vanity of life. They're attached to the mud and the dirt. They're married to the present evil world. Sinners have laid God's word in the dust. And they have trampled under God's law in the dust, in the dirt. They've lived in the dirt and they've trampled the word in the dirt. They've been identified with the dirt. Their union has been that kind of a union as sinners. Sinners are the serpent's seed. And how is the serpent identified? What did the Lord say to the serpent? Thou art cursed, and upon thy belly shall you go. And dust and dirt you'll eat all your life. And that's sinners, the serpent's seed. They're going on their belly. They're crawling in the dirt. They're married to the dirt. It's a despicable and a disgraceful place for the sinner. It's also a dangerous place whose end is destruction, the Bible says. Whose God is their belly, as if the apostle had in mind the serpent's seed. Going on their belly in their dirt, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, are crawling along the earth, and all they mind and all that they are taken up with is earthly things, a deplorable place. But the apostle especially brings out it's a dangerous place, whose end is destruction. You see why David's concerned. The prodigal was in this place. He was in the mud. He was stuck to the mud. He couldn't get out of the mud. In fact, the word cleave or the word join makes us think of the prodigal. Because what did we read when we read the story of the prodigal? We read that he went and joined himself. The Lord used the verb. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. He joined himself to the devil. He joined himself to the wicked one. And the wicked one, he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And in the fields he would fain have filled his belly with the swine's husks. He was, you know, in the mire. Well, that's where the swine are feeding, isn't it? But he went through a door. Because it says when he came to himself. He came to himself. He made a journey through a door. And that door was a door of repentance. I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say to my Father, I have sinned. He's had a change of mind. He's had a change of heart. Even before he set off to go back to his Father, he's done it in his heart in repentance. And in coming to Christ, sinners have to repent. And they have to confess this, that their soul has been cleaving onto the dirt. And so they must look to him to save them from this present evil world. They can't even take themselves out of it. They have to call on to the Lord. Lord, quicken me. Take me out of it. They have to tell the Lord how abominable they have been, how depraved, and how they have been in the dunghill. And if you're unconverted, this is the description of your soul. You're married to the mud, and you need a Savior who alone can take you out of it. And this is why you must come to the door of repentance and to Christ, the door of salvation. Christ alone can raise you up. Bless his name, he does so. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. And he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. That's the Saviour. That's Jesus Christ. And he doesn't only raise them up out of the dunghill. He raises them up to set them among princes. Even among the princes of his people. That's a powerful change of room, I can tell you. From the dunghill to the hill of the king and the princes. Only Jesus Christ can do that, sinner. Bless his name. If you come to him, he will. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ have been raised up with him into the heavenly places in Christ. Love lifted me. David, however, you will know, is not a sinner coming to Christ at his first conversion when he says this. This is not the cry of a newly awakened sinner. This is the cry of a long-established saint. This is a cry of a man after God's own heart. David, the man of God. David, the psalm writer. Not David, the worldling. Not David, the unbeliever seeking salvation. But David, the child of God. What could he mean here then when he says he's married to the dust? Even as a saint. Well, it's a confession that in his soul he does not always mind heavenly things. Christians too find that they still mind earthly things. That sometimes they still be too attached to the world below. And the Bible daily has to exhort us as Christians. Set your affection on things above. That exhortation exists that we may lift our thoughts up more heavenward. Set your affection on things above. Don't be cleaving to the dust. So David could then be saying this. I still find myself cleaving to vanity, Lord. I still find myself joined to this present evil world in some respects. There are times when I am not what I ought to be in spiritual things. Times when the spiritual life is at a low ebb. And there are times when the saint may even be backslidden in life as well as in heart. Like the prodigal who has gone off from the Father's house, the child of God may find himself taken up again with the world. Find himself more concerned about the things of time than the things of eternity. We get caught up in so much. Even lawful things can take our thoughts off eternal things. when we give them the proportion of consideration that is not due to them. And so the child of God sometimes finds himself at ease in Zion, more desirous of the newspaper and the unspiritual book than his Bible, more concerned about other houses than the house of God, more attached to the TV than anything else. Could the child of God ever find himself with a greater attachment to Hollywood than to Zion? David knows that this is wrong. He knows this ought not to be his condition. Are there things in your life, child of God, that you're glued to, that are just draining you of spiritual power and blessing, taking away the peace and the joy? Is there some low, vain thing, some unclean thing even in your life? Now, as Free Presbyterians, you're often well informed about the biblical teaching on separation. There are even Christians who are glued to apostate congregations, who are married to those who promote error, who cling to and pay into and support organizations that give a very uncertain sound when it comes to the pure Christian faith. There are some ties the saint of God has to sever. In fact, it may even have it to come down to, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, if thy foot offend thee, sever it. Even if your foot joined to your body, and there is no more intimate cleaving and union to that, but if it comes to it, even break that union to break free of sin. Better for thee to enter into life halt, maimed, than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. You remember how the apostle said, I would they were even cut off that trouble you. I would they were severed from you. Their attachment is too close to you. The separation has not taken place. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye severed from them. Remember how we have seen in Revelation, although we haven't come to the text yet, but we have quoted it, because we've been dealing with Babylon, but the great call is, come ye out of her, my people. Cut the links. Don't partake of the union. Don't partake of her sins. And you'll not partake of her judgment. So come ye out. Sever the links. And you who are joined to the Lord are also joined to God's people. And you must never forget that. Whenever you're joined to the Lord, you're joined to the body. And you have to have dealings with God's people. But you cannot be joined to the ungodly world. No. Depart ye, go ye from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her. Be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Psalm 1 and all of that. That's the man who severed the links. He's not cleaving to the ungodly. He's not cleaving to their way. He's not cleaving to their seats and sitting in the place with the mockers. But rather he has joined himself to the law of God and to the word, and he meditates therein day and night. As David says here at the end, I am stuck to your word, Lord. So let the word test you and try you this morning, child of God. We have to try our joints, you know. What we're attached to. We should look to our joints in the body of Christ. The joints are a very important element in the body. So be careful of what you are adhering onto, and it's the word of God that exposes the joints. Remember how the apostle said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and cutting in, and is a divider of the joints. The word divides the joints that are unseemly and wrong. And so we have to test ourselves always with the Word to divide and sunder those joints. And as we go through the house of God's Word, we find this. And particularly through a psalm like this, we should be brought to confess, like David, the truth of our fleshly struggles. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. We have to have a repentant spirit. So that's one of the things he's maybe saying. I have a too great attachment still to things that are not right. Secondly, perhaps also saying he has a barrenness in his soul, a deadness within him. Dust, as you know, in the Bible is associated with death. Dust thou art, to dust you'll return. And death has a dryness and a barrenness about it. And the dust, the hard, dusty ground is a barren ground. The soil is a soil without moisture, a soil without life, a soil unable to produce life. Dust is not something you grow and plant things in. And so David knows the connection between dust and death. And he's saying something about his soul here, feeling dead. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dust of death. Now, of course, we all die literally, but David's not speaking about literal death. All return to dust in that sense. And our soul is always joined to that dust in that sense. We will die. Our body is dust and will return to it. There's no getting away from that union. The resurrection and the life has broken the power of that union, of course, for believers. Taken away the sting of death and the victory of the grave, and saints shall be raised incorruptible. David is not talking really about that. He's not speaking of literal death. He's speaking of a spiritual deadness within him. We know that this is the case because of his petition that follows, "Quicken me. Make me alive, Lord." So it's not a physical resurrection that he's looking, but a spiritual quickening, a reviving. There's something about his heart and life now that requires a quickening. And brethren and sisters, we are always needing quickenings. And that's why we come under the Word so often, in the hope and in the confidence that the Lord will give us this quickening. Because it is his Word that is quickening. And the Word of God is sharp and quicker than anything else. It's the Word that quickens us. And that's why it's so important to be in God's house under the quickening Word. And so don't ever pray this prayer if you don't bring yourself under the Word of God. So if you pray for quickening, you make sure you get to the place where the quickening takes place. Under the Word. According to thy word. And so this is his desire for a quickening. Only God can give him a quickening. And without that he must remain stuck in the mud. Stuck in the deadness. Oh, how many children of God are stuck in the deadness. In a dead apostate church. Never experiencing the quickening word. We should thank God for the Word of God and for the ministry of the Word. Don't count it a little matter. So David's wanting a quickening in his soul. David might also mean the third thing in this expression. It is that he is sorely humbled in his soul. That he's poor and lowly and broken and contrite. That he has brought himself to the dust in repentance. Not so much a spiritual condition as a mental one, an emotional one. He feels crushed. He feels broken. He feels cast down in his soul. We get that, don't we? We get cast down. We get depressed. There are times when we just feel like lying in the dust. The dust is the place of the afflicted. It's the place of the wounded as well as of the dead. It's a place where the hurt lie, where the poor and needy feel themselves to be. Now, don't get me wrong. when he says he's lying in the dust, he's not saying that he wants to die. It's not an expression of a suicidal tendency in him. We must never think that. And the petition that flows makes that clear. I want to live, quicken me. So he doesn't want to die. He doesn't have a death wish that he's cleaving onto the dust. I'm not saying that Christians do not struggle with that sometimes. There are the battles with suicidal tendencies even in God's people from time to time. We can't deny that. And one or two in the Bible we read of did have suicidal death wishes, which were not right, and they had to be battled against them. Graciously, the Lord came and delivered them from it, as he usually does. But David's struggle is not a suicidal tendency. Maybe he's just saying, I go about mourning like a dead man. I have great sorrow and distress. As he says in another psalm, why do you hide your face, Lord? Why do you forget my affliction, my oppression? Our soul is bowed down to the dust, and our belly cleaves to the earth. He's under a sore trial when he says that. He's oppressed, he's afflicted. Something terrible has happened in his life, has brought him low. Perhaps he feels like him in the Ezraites. My soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. You've led me in the lowest pit, Lord. I'm in the darkness, I'm in the deeps. Your very wrath goes over my head, and you've afflicted me with all your waves. You've led me low, Lord, in the dust. Am I to the dust because of the trials in life? Troubles can be overwhelming, people of God. And when they do come, they normally come in plural numbers, like a flood pouring in. And it seems to affect our spiritual life. Because we only can seem to think of our troubles and cleave on to them and married to them. And, you know, that's all that we are taken up with and concerned about, as the Bible calls it, eating the bread of affliction. Eating it. And eating it again. Whenever we should be eating the word. But we're eating the afflictions instead. It deadens us. It makes us to be imprisoned, all these afflictions. We hardly even want to pray sometimes. And sometimes don't even hardly want to go to God's house and hardly want to turn to the Bible. Just groveling there in the dust of the sorrow, the depression of it all. There is only one answer for all of that. Only one who can help. Only one who can deliver. The divine quickener. The divine refresher and reviver. Him who is the resurrection and the life. Quicken thou me, O Lord. It's only the Lord who can revive you, child of God. It's only the Lord who can make you alive and keep you alive. And David frequently uses in this psalm this word, quicken. I think about 16 times. That's almost 10% of the verses. So it's a big thing in his thinking. Being made alive, being alive, be living, being quickened. And he very often asks the Lord to quicken me. Quicken thou me in the way. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Quicken me according to your judgment. Quicken me according to thy word. I think he says that 3 times in this psalm. The Christian needs to be revived at times. Quicken me. Are we not in days when the Christian church needs revived? Why does David add according to thy word? Now some have thought he means a word of command. Just speak, Lord. Just speak the word and I'll be quickened. Give that command. Command deliverances for me. But I don't think that's the case. This is not a word for a command, but he has a word of promise. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word of promise. He's pleading the promise. He has some word in mind. Something that gives him hope. How we need the promises. Something that gives him faith. Because you have to ask in faith, brethren and sisters. You can't ask for a quickening in unbelief. You have to ask in faith. And faith requires a word of promise. Let him ask in faith, the Bible says. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall have them. And so David asks in faith, and faith has a word of promise, according to thy word. You have to believe. Without faith in the Christian life, brethren and sisters, it's impossible to please God. You have to be a believer in the Lord's goodness and grace. And there can be no faith without the promises of Scripture. We have to have confidence in our shepherd. We have to know that he's one who will quicken us. We have to know his goodness. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. David has a word of promise. According to your word, Lord, I'm expecting it. I'm asking for it. I'm seeking it. If you don't believe, you'll never be established. You have to trust the Lord. What word does he have in mind then? Well, any number of words. He might have the law in mind, the Torah, where God says, I make alive. I make alive. I heal. And neither is there any I can deliver out of my hand. He's the Lord that makes alive. He probably had the book of Job. And what is that book all about? Well, it's really all about this verse. A man who was brought to cleave to the dust. But God quickened him. And the latter state of that man was better than the former, even though that was very good. He was even more quickened, Job. The whole book of Job. According to your word, Lord, according to what you've done in Job's life. What do you do to your people? And even David himself was not beyond writing promises of these things. Because he penned the Psalms. And he wrote many of those promises of quickening in the Psalms. Psalm 23. The Good Shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He quickens my soul. He heals it. When it's in the dust of death, he heals my soul. According to your word, Lord, you're the great shepherd. Quicken me according to your promises. And so you can believe the promises, child of God. Our weary prodigal, or whatever. Backslider, cold in heart, drifting from the word. Drifting from the Lord. The door of repentance is not far away. The Lord will raise us up again. If the sinner repents, the Lord will raise him up out of sin. And if the saint repents, the Lord will raise him up again with a quickening. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, come to the door of repentance, then I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive, and I'll heal. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, but he will heal us. He will heal us. He hath smitten, so that we are in the dust, but he will bind us up. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according unto thy word.